Amen. The days of captivity are over. The days of captivity are over, according to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. I preached this over there. I had a whole sermon picked out for, I preached in that little church with no floors. And so I had the sermon fixed up Saturday night, getting ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden the Lord says, "You don't have the right sermon." And I'm thinking, "Oh, I hate this sermon." So the Lord began to pour this on my heart. I had another service, a sermon already planned for you. A couple weeks I'd been working on it, and the Lord said, "No, share the one that you shared over there." So it is a short. By the way, the lady who translated for me is the press secretary to the prime minister and loves Jesus with all her heart. I said, "Man, what we wouldn't give for somebody like you in America. Somebody that loves Jesus." She's the one that was doing that. I said, "You've got to teach me how to do that." She's a sweet lady. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you." That is wonderful, right? The Lord will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I'll bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Father God, we come before you today so thankful, Lord, not for an experience, but because we know that the true word is alive, Lord, and that you're the same in Africa as you are in America, Lord. The same spirit that we felt in Tanzania, I feel today, Lord. And Lord, you liberated them with salvation. But Lord, I believe you're doing a liberating work in this church today, this very moment, Father. We are praying and believing, Lord, that the chains will fall today, God, that people will go free in Jesus' name, never again to walk back into captivity. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in my heart, and I pray today, let the word of God dwell richly in me, and may it come out and pierce the hearts of people. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got to remember that this was written to Israel, and Israel had spent 70 years. It's actually Judah. And so Judah had spent 70 years in captivity because of their idolatry and because of their sin. It was never God's will for them to go into captivity. But because of their sin, God removed his hand from their life. And this is what happened. He gave Satan a chance. And boy, Satan takes every chance he can get. That's why Ephesians tells us, don't give a foothold to Satan. Don't open a door. And so they had forsaken the Lord. And then he prophesies that you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And so this is the end of the 70 years when God used Jeremiah to prophesy to him and says, the days of captivity are over. And so those that were maybe a little older probably would have rejoiced. Here's the problem with things. About all those babies born in captivity, they never knew freedom. Do you know that you can get used to almost anything? You know that captivity for the young guys was considered normal. This is normal life. You know, I've told you before, I never wanted to get married because normal marriage to me meant a lot of fighting and screaming and throwing things. And I wanted no part of that for my life. That was normal to me. There are many people in this church that do not know what really a normal marriage is. Because a normal marriage that God wants for you is not fussing and fighting. It's walking in harmony and unity and peace, where the anointing of God flows down from the husband into the wife and to the children. And it's a blessing. God never meant marriage to be a curse. God always meant it to be a blessing. But we, in our stubbornness, try to do things our own way, and we've got into trouble. And now the children of America don't know what normal is. We've got to teach them there's a new normal in Jesus. And the new normal is freedom in Christ. Amen? Christ does not want you in captivity to any sin. The only thing that we are to be captive to is to Him. And we are His servants. Many people would tell you, I've known you for a long time. And you can't change. You can't break this shell. You can't be what you're telling me. And I got news for you. You can be if the Lord says you can be. If the Lord tells you you're free, you are free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Think about this for just a second. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? In us. That's right. Now where the Lord is, that's the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there's freedom. Well, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not Jesus that lives in you. It's His Spirit that lives in you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Right? So, if the Spirit of the Lord is in us, the Word of God says there's freedom. Now, He goes on in Galatians 5. He says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. And He says, stand firm then. That means you may have to fight for your freedom once in a while. You may have to tell the devil to take a hike and maybe your boots in his backside when you're doing it, right? I said, get out of here, Satan. I wish the kingdom of heaven would get a little militant in our walk with God. Don't get me stirred up today. You just have no idea what's inside of me right now. He says, stand firm then. Don't let us yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. Amen. You hear me? Whatever Christ has delivered you from, don't go back. Don't open that door again. Whatever that is, you keep that door firmly closed. He goes on and, you know, really I have never preached Jeremiah 29:11. Because America has so carnalized this verse that I stay away from it because in a way it sickens me just a little bit. Not the word, but what we've done to this verse. It says, I have good plans for you. I have good thoughts. And so what we've done is we have basically come along and said, it don't matter how you live. See, God wants to bless you. He can't bless you in your sin. You need to come out before you can go in. Right? So He says, let me put my glasses on where I can see what He does say. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Mm-mm-mm. How many have been told that God is mad at you? Don't you mess up or He'll get you. You know, that's not His thoughts. Do you know in one scripture He says that His thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand on the shore? My goodness. That we are written on the palm of His hands. I think it's right around where that scar is. The names of us are written there. He says, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God has a plan for your life. God has a plan and a destination. My destination was Tanzania about 2 weeks ago. It took a long time to get there and even longer to get home, right? But there was a destination in mind for us to get there. Do you realize God has a destination for you that's probably far reaching, far more reaching than what you can think? And so the plan that God has for you is to get you to that destination. Right? You can't make it on your own. You need His help. But to go from A to B, there's got to be a design. There's got to be a plan. Somebody's got to figure out what planes do we need to get on to get over here to Tanzania. Well, the same thing goes for your life. There's a destination that God has got over here in His mind for you that He wants to do far greater than you can imagine in your life. But you're going to have to stick to the plan, big boy. Don't get off the path, because on the path is where the blessings are. And so God says, I've got a plan for you. And He says, I've got a future and a hope for you. And that future and a hope comes about through seeking Him and calling upon the Lord. The bad news to this is God's not the only one that's got a plan for your life. So does the devil. We talk about in Ephesians 6 the wills and the schemes of the devil. You see, Satan's scheme, Satan's will for you is to destroy your life and to take everybody you know and love down with you. So there's two plans out there, plan A, plan B. You better stick to God's plan. God's plan is good. The devil's plan is bad. Everything God wants for you is good. Everything the devil wants for you is bad. It's that simple. It's that simple. So stick with the Lord. Romans 15:16 says, now let the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope. The God of confident expectation. It's not bad. It's good. God wants to do good in your life. There's one verse I'm going to read here in a minute, but I just can't stay away from it right now. He says, now rejoice in this hope. Rejoice in the confident expectation. But you know what we do? We don't rejoice until we walk in it. And God said, no, you got it wrong. You don't rejoice once you're in it, because once you're in it, it's not a hope anymore. You rejoice in the hope. So our hope is in God, and we look forward to it, and we see what God is wanting to do. And He said, rejoice now, because it takes faith to do that. I hope that you see, I hope that you feel that God's got all this goodness that He wants for you. All this divine plan of God, He wants to give it to you, but our sin will not allow us to take it. Our doubt will not allow us to reach out and grab hold of it. Ourselves oftentimes will limit what God wants us to do because we can't believe. Well, God help us. He said, then you'll call upon me and you'll pray. And that's not the exciting part of that verse. The exciting part of that verse is the last three words, and I will listen. That's a promise of God. When you pray, God says, I'll listen. I'll listen to you. I will hear you, and I will respond when you seek me. When you search for me with all your heart. As I was planning this thing, I thought, Lord, what is the difference in seeking the Lord and searching for you? He says, son, what do you search for? And I said, I search for the things I've lost. He said, that's exactly right. You seek Him, but you search for what you lost. Now, I don't know if that ministers to you. If you've been saved a long time, it's possible that you have lost your zeal. You have lost your joy. You have lost your hunger to seek for Him. And God wants you to restore that back to you. There's also people that don't know Him, that they've lost their future. They've lost their hope. They don't have hope of good things. All they see is disaster. You've been raised in this pattern of poverty, and all you can see is poverty. You don't even have an expectation that God can take you out of that. Well, God's got a plan for you. And He wants to restore that. But you're going to have to seek Him. Don't seek what He can do for you. Don't seek His hand, seek His face, seek His heart. Get to know Him as your daddy. I've never met a good dad yet that didn't want good things for his children. Right? God's the best daddy. He says in the book of Luke, if you being evil want to do good things for your children, how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? The best thing that God can give us is His Holy Spirit. And that comes at salvation. When you accept Him, the Spirit of God comes in. Right? So it's the best. He has not withheld anything from us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, He says, having therefore been justified by faith. Now listen to what He gives us. We have peace with God. That means completeness, lacking nothing. God withholds no good thing from you. If you need it, God wants to give it to you. Not to consume it upon your own lust, but God wants to bless you. He says, I want you to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access. One of the greatest blessings that we have in Jesus is knowing that Jesus says, I am the door. I am the entrance to everything that God wants for you. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. So quit seeking everything else. Quit looking here and quit looking there and look to Jesus, because everything you need, you're going to go through that door to find it. We have access. Folks, the people in the Old Testament didn't have access like we do. One time a year they had to go to the high priest who could make intercession for them. Today, any day of night, any time of the day, any day of the year, we have access with our Father in heaven. And it says He'll listen to us. If you ever had a dad that wouldn't listen to you, it's frustrating, right? Talk, and he's just doing his thing. I've been guilty of that myself. I used to read the newspaper. This dates you. Tree would be talking to me, and I'd be reading the newspaper. She'd come up, and she'd just hit that newspaper. Bam! Oh, you want to talk to me, don't you? She had a nice, quiet way of getting her message across. I bet the last couple of weeks have been peaceful for you, haven't they? Probably nobody bothered you. We have access into this faith, or we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in that confident expectation that God is doing something good in my life. That the destination that He is moving me towards is a destination that's powerfully, wonderfully made for me. It's no one else's destination. Don't try to be like everybody else. Just let God do in you what He wants to do in you. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank the Lord. We'll find grace and help in the time of need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, He says, but when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, He said, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. All my life, I thought the secret place was my closet. No, no, no. Read Scripture good. The secret place, God's in the secret place. He's in that holy throne room of grace. And it's my job to get into His secret place, which may mean a little effort on my part. You know, occasionally I feel the Lord wooing me to prayer. You ever felt that? It's like, come on, son, pray. But that doesn't happen often. Most of the time, prayer is discipline. You just discipline yourself that it's time to pray. We have no problem doing that. Eating, 12 o'clock comes, it doesn't matter if you're hungry or not. You're looking for lunch, aren't you? Right? I'm not hungry at all, but it's 12 o'clock. I'm supposed to eat. The Muslims pray 5 times a day. Wow. What if Christians were as disciplined as those people? What if every morning when we got up, we spent time in prayer, and then at lunchtime, and then in the evening time, and then the late time, and then before we go to bed, we're praying, 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 seeking the face of God. Don't you think the heavens might open for us? He says this, the end of that verse, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, so that all the world can see what God is doing in your life. Last point I wanted to bring to you. He says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. In Matthew chapter 13, there's two parables that the Lord told us towards the end of that chapter. One was called the parable of the hidden treasure, and one was called the pearl of great price. A woman who had some treasures, had some pearls, lost one of them. I think she had 6 or 7. But she lost one of them. She sweeps the whole house, searches the whole house until she finds one. She didn't say, I got 6 more. No, no. She seeks that. The other is the parable of great price, where the man who's in the field, he finds something and he goes and he buys that field, sells everything he has and buys that field so he can receive that treasure. A few years ago we had a missionary that came to the church, and he preached on that parable. And he told us, he said, and I'll never forget this, Roy will never forget this. He says, I know what that pearl is. I know what that treasure of great price is. It's the lost. See, I think the greatest thing the church can do is reach the lost. That is, he says that he would give us the lost for our inheritance. We have carnalized the gospel so much to where we have made it all about what we can consume. Lord, you're going to make me rich. You're going to let me live in a big house. You're going to let me drive a big car. And never once will we think about winning the lost. There's great joy in winning the lost for Christ. There's nothing like it. Bringing someone into the kingdom and into this relationship that never known it. Folks, you don't have to go to Africa to find people in despair. You can probably go around the neighborhood. The one thing that we learned in Africa is there was a lot of people of different denominations that never knew what the born again experience was. Folks, you're going to talk to a lot of people that says, I go to church here, I go to church there. I don't care where you go to church. What I want to know is Jesus, Lord of your life. Have you been born again? Has He accounted for your sin? And that's the question I want to ask you today. Has Jesus paid for your sin? Says, well, what do you mean? He's paid for all sin. Yes, He has. But have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him and confessed your sin so that you know when one day, probably very soon, we're going to hear a trumpet sound? Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ will rise, but those of us that are still here on this earth, we're going to shoot out of this old body, out of this old skin. This thing's going to drop because it's worthless anyway. And what really counts is going to go up there to meet with Christ. Are you sure? Are you positive? One of some of the greatest news I could have received. A young man called me, said, give me a call, Pastor. Called him, Dylan Smith. He said, Pastor, I went into my bedroom the other day and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Hallelujah. We've been praying for that young man for many things. But grandma and grandpa and mom and dad have been praying for him probably much longer than we have. He told me, he said, Pastor, I'm reading my Bible. Pastor, God is just telling me to stop doing this and stop doing that. What's that called? That's called the fruit of salvation. See, it's not just a prayer. It's not a religion, folks. It's a relationship with Christ, right? And when you have a relationship with Him, He's going to say, walk this way, son. Go here, go there. Why? Because He's got a plan for Dylan. And He's got a destination. And I don't know what it is. And I'll guarantee you, He doesn't either. But God's got a plan for that young man. And guess what? The door has been opened for him. And the door has been opened for you. And I believe with all my heart, I believe I'm talking to people today that you're walking in salvation, but you're not walking in the plan. I think the devil has got us fooled. The devil has come about with all the cares of this life, and we have given up on the plan and the destination. Oh, we're saved. We're going to heaven one day. Bless the Lord, we know that. But God's got so much more for us. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right here, right now. God's got something wonderfully designed for you. It ain't over till it's over, folks. So let's get on board. So get up. No, really, get up. Three things the Lord told me. Get up. Get excited. And never give up. Don't ever give up on the plan of God. Don't let life get so busy. Don't let life get so crowded in your mind that you forget you're not a number in the kingdom. You are a person. He knows you. He has a plan for you. It's a good plan. You can trust in His plan. And we are to rejoice now for that hope that He has put in us. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second? And I realize I may be talking to people that have not started their journey. They've never asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins. They've never asked Jesus to come into their heart, to be Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I've been playing church. I've been doing the religious thing, but I've never moved into a relationship with Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Because we would love to pray a prayer with you. Amen, brother. I see that. God bless you, both of you. Bless you. Anybody else? Brothers, would you just come up here and stand before us? Is Denny here? Denny, come and lead these two gentlemen to Jesus. Folks, you ought to get excited about that. Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. Let me ask you something. Has life crowded in? Have you given up on that plan that God has given for you? Have you quit seeking after God? I'm not asking you if you're saved. I know you're saved. But I'm saying right here, right now, let's come on, let's get on board with this thing. God's got a plan for you. Have you given up on it? Would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I've let life crowd in and I forgot that God's got something bigger for me than what I can even imagine. Come on, get honest. Raise your hand. You know it's you. Come on. I know there's more than 10 here. I know there's more than 10. The Lord says, I want to open up heaven for you. Thank you, honest people. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, I come before you right now. Lord, you see, Lord, what a step of faith it is to raise their hand and say, I've not given up on God, but I've let a lot of things crowd in. I know the Word of God says that I've got to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, I pray right now that they would confess their sin, that they would confess that they've let a lot of junk in, a lot of things have crowded out the Word of God. And Lord, right now, Lord, I pray, give them a mind that's sharp, God. Give them a destiny in their mind. May they be determined to go all the way. May they be determined to see the hand of God move in their life. God, touch them. Break open the gates, Lord. Pull down the chains, Lord. Anything that would bind them. Anything that they have let themselves get addicted to. Anything that they've attached themselves. If there's a spirit that's not of God, that's controlling their mind, I say in the name of Jesus, you must get out of their heart.
Yes.
We come against that in Jesus' name. We pray release. Release in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, bless these people. Bless each and every one of us. Let a fire be burning in our soul, Lord. For you. God, I would just pray today, consume us. Consume us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And use us. Use us to preach the gospel to every creature. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you that you are good all the time. You're not mad at us. You love your children, and you want good things for them. Father, we submit to the will of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. Denny's going to come and dismiss you.
John and Edwin. Everybody, welcome. Woo! John and Edwin to the family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
As we dismiss, I encourage you to shake their hands. Welcome to the family. Let them feel like we're family, because we're family, right? So praise God for that. And then Brother Larry.
As you all know, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month, and how many know we've got a good pastors here in Eric and Phil? Are we blessed? I don't know about you, but while they were over there, I was praying they wouldn't stay, because, you know, we want them back here. And we're thankful for all these guys that went to Africa. And as a church, we want to bless our pastors. Treva, come on down here, girl. I didn't realize. I'm so glad we didn't get a year's subscription to the PI, the paper, you know, for the pastor. He'd been in trouble if we'd have done that. But we have. Go ahead. We've got a plaque for you from our church, and a money gift, and flowers for Treva, too, our pastor. And thank all you all as we realize how blessed we are. We thank you for these guys. And amen. Let's just pray over these guys right now, guys, while we're up here. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Eric and Treva. We thank you, dear God, that they are walking out their plan, your plan for them, Lord, and as an example for all of us, Lord, to walk out our plan. We thank you for the word today, Lord, and I pray a hedge of protection around them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just want to say thank you so much. You know, I was over there with another pastor, and he was saying, I can't stand the thought of going back to my church. And he said, when these people are so hungry, he said, I got to go back and change diapers. And, you know, and he ain't really a pastor. And so I said, I can't wait to get back to my people. I mean, the joy of my life is pastoring this church. And so I'm so overwhelmed, you know, that God has placed us here and God has placed you here too. And we feel the same way towards you as I hope that you feel towards us. We feel like we are gifted with each one of you. And so thank you for everything that you, not just one time a year, but you do for us all year long. God bless you.
We love you all so much, and there's not anything else we would rather do than Pastor Bridge of Hope and get to be with you guys week in and week out and just watch God do great things in your life. So we are the blessed ones. We love you guys.
And that was Dale that said he wanted to go back to Africa. No. Once in a lifetime was fine with me. I'm happy right here. So.
Amen. God is good. God is good. All the time. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. Hopefully I'm not too bad out of practice that I can remember this. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless. Hallelujah.